Well, I really didn't know how this was going to go here this evening. And then, you know how we let our peers get, there's some folks here that I'm glad to hear tonight. Okay. And so I don't want to let that get in the way. You know, my personal, hang up, you know, I want the Lord to be glorified. I want to get Jamie out of the way and let him take a hold of us this evening. Let him get a hold of me. Let him show forth through me. Saturday's paper. Anybody read those little sermons that's in there through the week? You know, this one really jumped out at me, and I'll not read it all. But the topic is, who's starring in the story? And his point is have you invited God and you're the center of the story? And his point is, we need to be a part of God's story. And I was thinking about the growth of Drift Run here. This is important to us. And it may be big to us. This is part of God's big plan. We're not big enough for God to come to us. I didn't mean that to sound like that. But you know what I mean. But he's big enough to consume us and Medina. And all the other churches around us growing and preaching Christ and Him crucified. Said, just real, your story is mostly about you. God's story is all about God. That's right. Sermon topic this evening is steps of faith. Steps of faith. And it brings me back to when we stepped out in faith on this endeavor to grow the building, okay? And we did. We stepped out on faith. We didn't borrow any money. We asked the Lord to provide, and He has. So that's what this is going to be about. It's just about a little encouragement through the middle of what we're going through. Okay, you might have seemed like we hit a little stagnant place here, but this is just encouragement. It was encouraging to me, and I pray that it'll be encouraging to you. And we want to start out reading in Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 31. Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 31. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Let us pray. Lord, again, I do bow here before you this evening, Lord, to be humbled, Lord, to be your servant here this evening, Lord, to be your messenger. Let this word flow freely from my lips and fall on receptive hearts here this evening, Lord. I give you praise and glory, and I ask for you to get me out of the way here tonight, Lord. We know your heart. We felt your presence here. Through the Holy Spirit, Lord. And again, I ask for your guidance, your direction through your word. May it be proclaimed in the name of Jesus Christ. These favors we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So I often think about that in my own life. Peter was bold. He was one to jump up and fight at the drop of a hat and cut the guy's ear off. You know, that's the way Peter was. And I always thought, that's the way I'd like to be. Yeah. And Peter said, bid me to come to you. So I say, what an act of faith. I say, what, didn't we do that? Didn't Drift Run do that a time back, saying, we're going to act on faith. We're going to expect the Lord to give us everything we need for this project. If He wants us to grow, He'll provide. And praise the Lord, He has He not? And, some of the success stories that I looked up was found in Joshua chapter 3, verse 17. And it was when Joshua was leading the tribe, the Israelites, to the Jordan River, going to cross over, and they come to the Jordan River. And that was an obstacle. Because it was flooded at the time, during the harvest season. So it was very deep, very flooded. So, God addresses him. They come to the edge of the water, and there again, there's the obstacle. God addresses him what to do. God tells him what to do. Joshua goes to him in faith, and God tells him in exact terms what to do. What to do. So he does that, and then he addresses the people, the Israelite people, and tells them exactly what to do. And he addresses the priests who are carrying the ark. They walk to the edge of the water, and God says, when their souls touch the water, it'll part. And he says it'll back up upstream. And they stood in the midst of the Jordan River on dry ground. That was steps of faith. And again, Joshua, and everybody knows the story of the walls of Jericho. There again, they had an obstacle. There again, God told them what to do. And there again, Joshua was obedient, told the people what to do. Once a day, march around it. For 6 days. On the seventh day, march around it 7 times, blow the trumpet, shout, and the walls will fall. And that's exactly what happened. My point is being, here we are back at Drift Run, and you know it's the same God that told them what to do back then that led us what to do here today. Go out on faith, and He'll see it through. And we seem to be hung up on this electric thing out here. So, I was thinking about, you know, it's kind of, feels like it's kind of dragging. But I was thinking, hopefully we ain't starting to, like Peter is. As long as he was looking at Jesus, he was walking on that water. Like, man, he was walking. And then he started, uh-oh. You know, and I don't want us to do that right now. Okay? That's what this is encouraging about. We could get a little discouraged about this electric out here. Don't be discouraged. God's greater than that electric. God's going to move that electric. And if he don't, he didn't intend for it to be moved. Okay? He's got another plan for us. But God has a plan, and we need to stay in steps of faith. He will not fail us. He won't leave us hanging. He won't. Here's some scriptures I just kind of found in the back of this, talking about the walk of believers. And before I go there, Peter's failure to walk on the water, and that was all caused because he took his eyes off the Lord. Okay. We had service at Rodney's house last Sunday morning, and we talked about how sometimes, and I know a lot of us can vouch for this, that we get in a mud hole and we can't get out. We just kind of waller in it. Well, Cindy asked me this morning about, is there some scriptures for that? And then after looking at that, I was thinking, that's what Peter did. He quit looking at Jesus, and he looked down at his situation. I know I've been there and wallered in that mud hole. And somebody might be wallering in it now. What you got to do, look up. Okay? Put your faith there. Don't put your faith in yourself to get you out of that mud hole. Peter, you know, when he got scared, he was putting his faith in himself, and he started sinking. He was failing when he took his eyes off the Lord. And there again, that's what the encouragement is about here. We got to stay focused on the purpose of what's going on here at Drift Run Church, But remember, this is just part of a big thing God has going on. I was thinking, I think about our singing and how the Holy Spirit was moving among us and what I felt back there. I just felt like, wahoo, you know. And I'm thinking, that's going on everywhere. It's not just going on here. There's lots of churches out there. Yeah, there's dead ones, but there's a lot of churches that are alive. And I think that the ones that are alive are going to get more alive and more alive the closer we get. We may be few in number, but we're going to be a powerful hand of God. I'm telling you right now, I am. Up there at their revival, that first night I went, there was just a few. But that church was full because of the Holy Spirit was moving on each and every one of us. It was, and that's the power of God. Okay? I believe revival's coming. Not just to Drift Run Church or up there or wherever. Revival's coming. And like I say, it might be few in numbers. But what's more powerful than one God? Yeah. And if we're a part of that big God, what else we need? There is no hope without that big God. No hope at all. Praise the Lord. Walk of believers. First one is the new life. Therefore, it's Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. How many Christian friends you got to walk around like they're going to the morgue? There's no joy in their step. And we ought to have the most joy of anything, because we got the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our debt has already been paid. We won't owe anything. Without Christ, you owe everything. I think of, remember that Fram commercial, you can pay me now or pay me later? That's walking in the new life. We got everything to be excited about. We got everything to be happy about. And we got everything to have joy about in our new life as a Christian. And thank the Lord, Jimmy accepted that new life. Yeah, isn't that awesome? That's what it's all about. We've had a few people getting saved here of late, and that's what it's all about. That's why God leaves us here. We're messengers. We need to share. We need to lift up others and help them along and encourage others. Encourage one another. Number two, faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Well, I was thinking about those ones in going to the Jordan River. If they was walking by sight, they would walk up there and seen that flooded thing, and what are they going to do? What are we going to do? If they would have went by sight alone, they would have quit. And how would that have changed biblical history? What about the walls of Jericho? What a powerful story. God showed himself to us all. He's showing himself to us today through his word, through that powerful. What if that would have failed? What if they wouldn't have done? What if they'd have just looked at that and said, we can't do that? I remember Jamie sitting back there looking up here saying, I can't do that. And we're all guilty of that. Number three, spirituality. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So we talk a lot about that battle that's going on every day in our lives. The flesh wants this, but the Spirit wants that. Point blank, follow the Spirit. Follow the truth. He tells us over and over that flesh is dead, that flesh is going to die. The world proclaims, do what the flesh wants. And every person that has died, still dead. Everybody, every physical body that has died is still dead. Their soul lives on. Their spirit lives on. So that's the point of that one, is follow the Spirit. Can't go wrong by doing right. Number four, consistency. Ephesians 4, uh, chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Think about that. Man, God saved your life. God saved your soul for eternity. And act like it. That's what he said. And he called each and every one of you all, and every Christian that is breathing today, to have a job, to have a vocation. That's what vocation is. To have something to do for the Lord, no matter what it is. Don't get caught up in what's important and what's not, because with God, it's all this. We're the ones that do all that. Number 5 is love, found in Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He presented himself for me. Okay? I'm standing there in front of a just and righteous God, and without Jesus, he sees this filthy, useless man. But Jesus paid it all, didn't he? Jesus paid it all. Jesus stepped out there, and he covered me. And when that just and righteous God looked this way, what's he see? Thank the Lord he don't see this. He sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. What greater love is that? Okay, now and back to the reason for all these is our walk. This is our walk as believers. Number 6 is caution. Ephesians 5:15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Okay, and what comes to my mind there is fools do a lot of this. Wise do a lot of this. And I'll leave that one at that. Number 7, illumination. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's in the light. Jesus is the light of this world, right? And evil, they run from the light. Evil loves darkness. Stay in the light. Stay in the light. I remember something in there says, flee from sin. I remember telling my kids, if something don't feel right, it ain't. And then growing up, said, if it don't feel right, it ain't. Get away. Get away. Flee from it. And that's when I went to the point of telling them, make the decision right now. I'm not going to do this. And then you've already made that decision before you're in the situation. Okay, here's the last. Number 8. Christ-likeness. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. He's telling us to walk as Christ did. You know, we're not going to be perfect like he is. But we've got the example. We've got the map. We've got the guide. And what was one of his greatest things? Love one another. I must be about done. You want to come get a song, Ryan?